Guess who's back? Back again. Havy's back. Tell your friends what the F is up. I am back, bitches. Threads of Time podcast. This one is going to blow your dicks off. I am sorry for my procrastination. This one has sat in my computer for 3 months and it deserved better, and you will see why in a couple seconds. But first, I want to just thank my guest for this evening is the one and only Kaz. Yes, he is making his triumphant return. He was kind enough to end his soldats-like silent treatment of me long enough to do this podcast, and it was a thing of beauty. It was verbal lovemaking. And at the very end of this podcast, well, I'll keep that a secret until you hear it. So this podcast sponsor for today is just going to be procrastination. And all you bitches better thank ayahuasca, because that's the thing that's getting me off the snide. So let's thank drugs. All right, and with that, on with the show. Have you ever met a guy on an internet date waiting around as he comes in 2 hours late? Let me tell you a story about this situation. I was talking to this guy from the SBC Nation. The way that I met him was in a Vegas sports book. He had missing teeth and a hungover look. He looked exhausted, dripping, pouring with sweat. He was kind of talking loud and he wanted to bet. I whispered in his ear, come to the corner booth so I can get some Jaeger, the 100-proof truth. He asked the guy's name, he said, my name is Moon. He tossed him $100 and sang him a tune. We had a couple drinks and we were getting booze. The way he was drinking, I was more scared than amused. We started throwing dice, he was dropping lots of change. I said we should calm down and he started acting strange. Then I asked if he was okay and he tried to pretend. He said, no, I'm at a dead end. Come on, man. I can't even be around you. That's why I'm gonna sing it. Zoo! You're not what I need. I'm afraid we can't be friends. I'm afraid we can't be friends. Oh, Havy, you're not what I need. I'm afraid we can't be friends. I'm afraid we can't be friends. Oh, Havy, you're not what I need. I'm afraid we can't be friends. I'm afraid we can't be friends. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I am very excited tonight. I got what they call in the business a good get. I was able to land the Polish hammer, the second most famous Polish person I know, right behind Lech Walesa. It is my man. He on the path of Polish enlightenment. It is Kaz. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk to you, man. It's been a long time. And what the hell have you been up to? Where have you been? I know you've been busy with family. You've been putting out some kids.
Yeah, so still living out in Arizona, and ever since most of the guys that are probably listening to this last saw me, I have impregnated the wife twice, both times via the great process of drinking alcohol.
So it was not intended? Is that what you're saying?
Partially. How about that? we were hoping to have a kid. We weren't sure we were going to be able to have one. And the first one was obviously a great and exciting discovery for us since we weren't sure we could have one. We went to a baseball game, got liquored up, came home, did the nasty, and you know, a month later, there she was pregnant. The second one was probably a little bit more of a surprise, but a welcome surprise, I should say. We knew we wanted more than one kid. I'm just not sure we were fully ready for what two kids can do to a life. And we're starting to find out the hard way now how difficult it really is.
Yeah, man, I bet. Because how old are they?
I got a two-year-old. He turned two in January. And then I got a 10-month-old now.
That is brutal. So that means She was the your first son was just right around his year birthday when she was pregnant again.
Yep. Yeah. We found out, and once again, this is actually due to drinking and baseball. She had gotten drunk watching the Cardinals because she's a Cardinals fan. They were playing in October, and she dragged me upstairs and did her little celebratory dance on my cock. And a month later, the pregnancy test came back positive.
So, what are you doing at this point to prevent that from happening again?
Pretty much anything you can possibly imagine. There are multiple forms of prevention currently taking place to ensure that a third one doesn't show
You just got to go backside. Every
up.
time, it's the safest bet. There's
Oh, I like that.
no such thing as poop babies.
I'm trying to get her to sign off on the snip, but she won't do it yet.
The snip for you?
I don't know if you know this. If a man wants to get snipped, he actually has to have his wife's signature on a legal document to do the process.
That is bullshit. Is that a real thing?
That is absolutely legit.
What?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's absolutely
Is
true.
it
I
the
mean,
same? Is it the same for her? Does she have to get your permission to get her tubes tied?
I don't know that actually. That's a good question.
Is this
I'm
just
not aware.
Arizona, or is this like a federal law? Must be
Don't know that either, because
must just be a state.
both the people I know that told me that live out here. But he had it done back when he was in Nebraska, so I don't think it's just, maybe it's a state by state thing, but it's legit from what they're telling me. And she won't sign off on it. And I'm only a couple hours north of Mexico, so I can go get a little under the table Mexican procedure done if I wanted to, but it might be a little bit is ballsy too cute of a term for
No, you can
that.
get a lot of great things done in Mexico for on the cheap. You don't even have to go in a building. You can actually just get it done right outside the building, I'm guessing.
Just right there on the curb.
Yeah. Wow. So that means that she's considering having a third child.
Yes, not anytime soon. I think
How
we're
do you
hunkered down
know?
for a while.
She might be tricking you. Like
No,
you
she's.
have that talk, and then all of a sudden, she takes you out drinking. Next thing you know, you're having another kid.
Well, I actually, the funny part is for Mother's Day, I bought her three tickets to a baseball game. I said, "Here, you and two of your girlfriends go out and have a good night." And she's like, "You know what this means, don't you?" And I said, "I will not let you touch me when you get home." But yeah,
Man.
we've had the conversation. She wants to consider a third one down the road. It mostly has to do with the fact that she still would really like a girl.
Now, I was talking to, I know you didn't hear the podcast with Gaddius, but he was in this exact same situation a couple years ago. He had two boys. Him and his wife wanted a girl. Well, I think more his wife wanted a girl and talked him into having another one. They had another boy. I think they were going to try and even have a fourth, but I think
Oh,
he
dear
wised
God.
up. Don't do it, man, because whatever it is, between you and her, you're only going to have boys at this point. If you have two, you're going to have five.
Yeah, dude, I'm done. I'm good with two kids. I used to think at some point early in my life that I wanted three or four kids. That was the dumbest thing you could possibly think.
So, well, I mean, at least they're boys. And no offense to little girls, but they grow up to be bigger girls that want to date boys. And jeez, I knew what I did to try and get girls to go out with me, and I just wouldn't want that around my house, around
Yeah,
my
well,
daughters.
the comment I tell everybody is when you have a son, you have to worry about one penis. When you have a daughter, you have to worry about all penises.
It's true. Yep, and they all want to get inside your daughter. That's a gross thought.
That's a terrible thought. I mean, I'd
Ugh.
lock her in a cage until she's 30 if it were legal.
Yeah. So, wow, yeah, that keeps you super busy. I assume
Yeah.
they're pretty good kids, though.
They're good kids. I'd like to spend more time with them. Obviously, the other part of life that's keeping me busy right now is work. So between work and kids, the free time is pretty much, it's non-existent at this point. Anybody that's listening to this that has kids can relate to it, though. You're a lucky man that you don't have to relate to it.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
at least that you know.
no, I worked very hard not to have kids. I tried very hard.
Are you sure you don't have one? I mean, you just don't know about
You think I might get a Tron call? Remember when Tron got that call and all of a sudden he had a 6-year-old daughter? That
Yes.
was the craziest thing because think about this. And I think I was one of the only people that talked to Tron on the phone ever, but he gets a call one day that he has a 6-year-old daughter, but not just that. The mother's crazy and she's giving up control of the kid. So he went from, hey, you have a kid, to, hey, you're an only parent with a 6-year-old daughter, just like
Wow.
that.
You took me so far back. I hadn't even thought about Tron for years until you just mentioned that. Oh, that's old school right there.
We were talking about him with Clone and I were talking about Tron, so I actually went back and looked up that thread when he made the announcement, and just thinking of what must have been going through his mind, because he was so immature back then, and then all of a sudden he's, Mr. Mom. It's tough.
I'm still immature now, and it's difficult to parent, so I can't imagine what it was like at that age.
Well, it's perfect for you because you got two boys, so you can just play with all their toys as they grow up and, buy stuff for them, quote unquote.
That's kind of funny. This morning, was it this morning or last night? I was showing my son a cartoon to distract him for a little while I got both of the boys ready for school. And he ran off and started playing with his toys, and I sat there and finished watching the cartoon.
That's awesome. Yeah, you I was doing this purge last year where I was just getting rid of everything that I had in a storage locker since like I first moved out of my house, and while I was doing this purge, I found this I don't know if you remember that little handheld football game. It was just like little like red LED dots, and it just you move them up and down, and you
Oh
even
yeah.
you know what
Yeah.
I'm talking about?
Yeah, I played it in like my mom's minivan when I was, 6 or 7 years old, when you're driving to grandma's place.
So I'm in the middle of purging all this stuff, and I sat down and I was like, I gotta try this thing. Like an hour later, I was just done. I'd just been playing it for an hour. I don't think we, yeah, I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day. I remember when I was in my teenage years looking at somebody that was 30, 35, 40 years old and thinking how old I would feel and mature I would be, and that is just not the case.
No, it's. I actually think I'm getting more immature as I grow up, and I recognize just how awful. I don't know. Maybe it's being exposed to people who are too mature, but you see how they act, and they act 10 years older than they are. It almost makes me want to rebel against their system and act more like a 15-year-old jackass.
You should, because if you look on like Facebook with people you went to high school with, there's some people that look like they're freaking 50, and you're like, you've just been living wrong, man. You've been taking yourself too serious, and it caused you to start looking like that.
Well, I'm one of them who's starting to look that way, but at least I won't act that way.
How old are you?
I'm 31.
Oh, see, you're a puppy. I'm 38. I turn 39 next month.
What are you going to do for the big 4-0 when that comes up? You even thought about it
Start drinking again. No, I'm
yet?
just kidding.
Well,
No.
so you've quit drinking? I mean, we haven't obviously kept in touch. So,
Yeah, that's true.
what's the Zubaz storyline? Are you still in Wisconsin, and you've quit drinking? How do you live in Wisconsin and not drink?
Yeah, man. I'm in currently just ending the greatest year of my life. I was sober from like November until March of last year, and then I had a little bit of a break and fell off the wagon for a little bit, but I've been sober since July 5th of last year, so like 312 days, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, totally changed my life around. I was just writing it down. This past year I've exercised more than I ever have. I've been more everything from clean in terms of like hygiene, but really in terms of keeping my house clean and purging, and I started going back to college. I just started taking private pilot lessons to get my private pilot license. I'm jumping out of a plane on Saturday.
With a parachute or without?
I don't know, we'll see how it goes. I'm not totally sure. I think it costs more if you get a parachute, so I'm just trying to figure out how many dollars I have.
Make sure to balance that with your budget. It's important.
Yeah. So that's the story. Still in Madison. I think, I don't know if you knew Kelly. I'm still with Kelly. I've been with her for 4 years.
Yeah, I think you had started dating her right as I left, not CSFBL, but when I left TCL. I think you had just started dating her.
Yeah, that's probably right. Like,
if it's been 4 years, that's right around the time that happened, I think.
Yeah, so let's go through that timeline for a second. So you...
Sure.
You... I think you were working at a golf course. Is that right? You're
I was working
at a golf
for a golf
course?
Management company.
Golf management company.
Yeah, I was working for a golf course management company in their accounting group. That was my first job when I moved out to Arizona. And was I still working that when I? Yeah, I was still working that job when I left TCL.
Yeah. Wow. It's been a long time, man.
That would have been, yeah, I left that job.
Right? 2010 or 11?
2009. I left that job in 2009.
Oh.
So I played CSFBL for a while after I left TCL. So I actually remember when I quit now, I had quit while I was on a golf course in September of 2009.
You quit?
I remember that.
You quit TCL or your job?
I quit TCL.
Oh. Why did you quit?
Well, I figured that would come up. I just sort of got tired of what TCL had become. I'd been on message boards and things of that for quite a long time. The way I actually found CSFBL was through a message board called Sons of Ivy, which was a Chicago Cubs message board. That was pretty small. It was probably like, I don't know, 70 or 80 members. It was private. You had to be invited to become a member. It was just sort of a very tight knit group. And when I first joined TCL, it sort of had that same feel to it. Everybody was, we were all fighting the same battles. We're all backing each other up. I think the best way I can compare it is TCL was kind of like the Delta House in Animal House.
Yeah.
We were our own little world, and even when it came to people picking on even like our quote unquote weaker members, our Stork or our Flounder or something like that, the Eclectics and the Waltons and guys like that, we always backed them up and we loved playing with those guys. And what happened was TCL felt like a league that you enjoyed playing the game, and it just happened to be a great league. And, I felt what happened over time was that we sort of started buying our own story and believing that we were the greatest. And owners came in under that assumption. Other owners left. And it became all about the competition and all about the game. And it sort of lost that sort of Delta House feel. And I think the final straw for me was probably how everything played out with Walton. If that might sound kind of funny, that Walton was the one that sort of made me say, all right, fuck it. But, he was sort of deposed in a rather unseemly way, if you ask me. And so I just went silent for a while to see if it would change or become anything I wanted to be a part of anymore. It never did. So I just said, fuck it, and I left.
Yeah. I actually remember that time pretty well because I noticed that was a sea change too. And actually, that's something we still talk about is – the balance between people that are active in the community versus active in the game or a combination thereof. And we just recently had some votes of confidence for people that weren't meeting the minimum competitiveness standards. And I always vote to keep everybody. And that kind of pisses people off. But unless they're not being active in the community, I don't give a shit about the game. I mean, who gives a shit about the game? You're just playing.
Right.
It should just be the backdrop to the community, right?
That was my feeling to it. I just enjoyed the community we had together. We had a blast. I mean, you remember the forums back then? We were posting constantly. It was always hilarious content. Some of it was a little, not safe for work. Some of the shit got deleted because Brian wasn't too happy about it, and so we started the sort of little crusade against Brian.
Yep, and it was Gelatin. And yeah, and X Dude.
I forgot about Gelatin. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh man. But yeah, we had a blast together, and the competitiveness of the game, the fact that everybody considered us the best league, was just sort of the gravy on top. And I felt the shifting grounds of the game becoming more important, and that just wasn't what TCL was for me. My other leagues were like that; they were about the game, but TCL was special. And once it lost that flavor, it didn't really make sense to fit in anymore. Didn't really want to be there. So, you know, why stick around? I still loved a lot of the guys, and I hope that all of them are doing great. But it just wasn't for me anymore.
I got the impression that maybe you thought that. When you said that maybe TCL was buying its own story, that even as an insider, you thought that maybe the league was getting a little elitist.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what if you really want to boil it down to that, I think that's a proper statement.
Yeah. So what you did next, or even while you're in TCL a little bit, is you try to start your own thing. And the first thing you tried to start was the Haha Hole, right?
Oh yeah, the Haha League.
That was a great league. That was a great idea.
It was a great idea and a spectacular failure all at once.
I don't know. It's too bad that those forums got purged because there was some funny threads in there.
That was the point of the Haha Hole was more about let's try and create a community here where we can really have some more fun. And the problem is when you start new leagues like that and you go after established owners, and I think a lot of leagues still experience this to this day, is it's not their number one league. It's their number two or number three or number four league, and they just aren't willing to commit the time to it that they are to their number one. So you have maybe three or four owners who consider it their top league, but the rest don't, and that's just sort of a recipe for mediocrity at the end of the day from a league perspective. The boards were still fun as hell, though.
Yeah, it's true. I've tried to have a solid second league. I tried it with the Dirty Dozens. I was in Pressbox Guild and Charlie Foxtrot, all those leagues. But it was always my second league, and I was never very active. What'd you say?
I never heard of Pressbox Guild or Charlie Foxtrot. Were those leagues I created after I left?
Maybe. Pressbox Guild was the one that Croco tried to start. I don't really remember what the stick of that league was, but
Oh Croco,
you lovable bastard.
Well, it's more like Choco, but or Choco, however Choco, you want to pronounce it. I call them Choco.
So, and then right after Haha Hole, you started the Evolution League, right?
Yes, that was the one that we talked to Brian, and he was like, oh, this is a great idea. We're going to start a league, and we'll make it sort of experimental, and we got Croco on board to do all the stats and tracking that he had been doing for TCL, so we'd have the robustness of a great league, and we'd have the creator of the game behind it as well, so it would be sort of a league that everybody really craved and wanted to be a part of. And I think Croco bailed after one season, and Brian after a season and a half, and that killed it right away.
So explain to everybody what the original concept of that league and why you named it the Evolution League. What was it supposed to do?
It was supposed to be about what I'd spoke with Brian in via email was the quote-unquote evolution of the game itself. So the commissioner team, I can't remember exactly who it was anymore, we had a whole bunch of ideas of things we wanted to try. And Brian thought they'd be really cool ideas. You know, some of it would just be Croco's stat tracking and a way to get that exposed on the forums in an easier fashion. Part of it would be some coding things that Brian thought he might be able to try. And some of it, I think, eventually got done by Reds, if I'm not mistaken. I it's been so long, I can't even remember. Because after a while, Reds actually stepped into Evolution and did some things, which I think was the precursor to CBA 2. So that might be partially our fault for all I know, and I apologize.
So since you've been back, have you noticed the difference with the new CBA?
Yeah, everybody costs a shitload more.
So on the podcast right before yours, I actually had Tino on, which was pretty interesting, and My question for him about the CBA, too, is what's it matter? I mean, if everybody's playing under the same rules, if the rules suck, the game was broken before, too. So what's it even matter?
You know, at first, I think CBA 2 was around for a little while before I quit the first time, I think. And at first, it actually really irritated me. And now, yeah, looking back on it, I like you said, everybody has to play by the same rules, the same salary caps, although now I see that leagues can do whatever they want with the salary caps, so that sort of changes that concept a little bit. But everybody in the same league is still following the same rules and the same cap. So, you know, everybody has to try and deal with the same talent pool.
Yeah.
So I think that was just a little bit of everybody being so comfortable with what CSFBL was that they weren't willing to accept the new thing. And looking back on it, Reds probably took a lot of heat for it. Some of it deserved and some of it not so deserved.
He gets more heat because of his personality, because he lashes out. He talks a lot and he makes himself an easy target sometimes. But like I talked to him on the podcast, and the thing is, at least he was doing something, because Brian sure wasn't at that point.
Brian wasn't doing a damn thing at that point, and Reds stepped in and did a whole crap load for the game. I can see now that is good. So I'm glad he did it. And it's funny he said that he and I actually got into it probably a couple months ago over in the first league I came back to, and it was nice to see that nothing's changed with him.
No, the Reds rage is still strong.
In full effect.
So, but I think you might be right. You know, I think the Evolution League was an honorable effort, because whether or not you were trying to do this intentionally, you were trying to bring Brian back into the game a little bit at a time where we hadn't really seen him in years.
That was the thought, yeah. He disappeared, basically.
And so you said, not only are we going to make this league, I want you to be a part of it, and then I want you to test your poison on it, let it be a beta league, and we'll help you with the evolution of the game.
Yeah, or you know, at least throw out some of your developer ideas or something. Let the league sort of be the litmus test for whether or not that would go over well, and see what happens. And yeah, he must have felt pretty quickly that he still didn't have the passion for the game since he left so quickly. Like I said, it was maybe a season and a half, and I might be even generous in the amount of time he was there. It might have even been shorter.
Yeah, it sounds like he might be getting a little invigorated again, and you know, I think competition will do that to you. And when Pennant Wars came around, all of a sudden Brian started popping up again a little bit. And I think I don't necessarily think he's nervous about the competition, but something stirred him up, and I think this may be part of it.
You know, you just brought up two topics for me that would be fun to talk about. One of which is Pennant Wars.
Yeah.
So, if you want to hear a good story, do you want to know how I got back into CSFBL?
I do, yeah.
Okay, so I'm good buddies with Cubs fella.
Yep.
We had met on the SOI boards, and you know, we talk quite frequently, usually over Facebook or something like that. Our families have exchanged gifts when the kids, when the wives get pregnant, all that kind of stuff. So he told me probably 4 or 5 months ago about this new game called Pennant Wars that Nolan had put together.
Yep.
And I said, well, hey, you know, fantasy football's over. I'm kind of itching for – I need something like that in my life, whether it's fantasy football, fantasy baseball, something to distract me from all the noise. So I said, great, let's try Pennant Wars, you know. He's like, well, it's a pay game, and, you know, it is Nolan. And I'd had some run-ins with Nolan back in the day because he was I'll put it nicely, he has some inflammatory capabilities as a person.
He sure does. I was reading some of the old threads. I actually got Schnug on the podcast a couple. It's going to be posted actually later tonight. And so when I was preparing for the podcast, I didn't know much about Nolan, but I was reading back. Nolan would put flames on people. He'd put flames on himself if he was trying to make a point.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was something else.
We had a couple of run-ins in one of his leagues. So anyways, I was like, well, you know, Nolan was at least a smart guy, an intelligent guy. So let's test this game, and if it's worthwhile, I'll pay for it, sure. And I tested it out for a couple of days over maybe an hour, and I thought it was absolute trash. The user interface was clunky. It felt like too many concepts had been sort of copied from CSFBL and tried to be improved upon, but the draft structure looked worse, and the free agency thing was a mess because there's 96 teams in a league. I don't know. I don't mean to rip on Nolan's product, and that's not my intention here, but I couldn't stand it. And it literally was such a negative experience to me that I came back to CSFBL because of it.
That's interesting. You know, I got invited to play Pennant Wars a couple months ago, and I guess semi beta test. I don't know. Anyways, I went in and tried it, and I thought the initial impression, I was like, this looks pretty nice. But then when I started playing, I realized it was full of pain.
Yes.
Not only when I first started, did I know I was only going to play one season because, you know, I saw the countdown clock on when I would have to start paying, and there's just no point to pay because it wasn't, you know, a dollar better than CSFBL at that point. Yep. And there's a bunch of flaws. But then right when I started playing, the crazy thing is the newbies, all these people that are going to play one season could actively and openly trade with the level one guys. So I was just getting constantly barraged with these trade rape deals. And so yep. there's no way to move up because these guys had such stacked teams because they were just raping the newbies.
Yep. I had the same trade rape offers. And I sort of in my, one of my leagues right now, I made a passive joking comment about Pennant Wars, not realizing that there's been some trolling going on back and forth between the two games.
Oh yeah.
And Schnoog catches it, comes in, starts trying to get feisty with me. And I was trying to be nice, and it was Schnoog and Anathema or whatever. Yep. I just call him Anna. And Schnoog took it to PM after I posted a sort of a little bit more blunt comment with some constructive criticisms. And he says, "Hey, why are you trashing the game?" I said, "Well, I don't think me saying I hated my experience is trashing the game. I'm telling you guys what happened." And the second PM that we sent back and forth was actually me. This sounds kind of douchey, but I actually sort of threw out a couple of suggestions. And I said, "Listen, just from a business perspective, I've got a couple concerns about what you guys are doing. One is there's no scalability to your game whatsoever. If this is a for-profit entity, no one's never going to make a dime off of it because you've got three 96-team leagues. Well, no owner can own more than one team in a 96-team league. So how do you get all of those owners who get obsessed with the game who want to buy 5, 6, 7 teams – How do you hook them in? What's your scalability model? And number two, like I said, I was only there for maybe a half an hour or an hour tops, but where's the social aspect of the game? You know, what makes CSFBL great is the social aspect of the forums and the boards and the way we can interact with each other and how we can brag about our teams and make fun of people and all that stuff. And in my experience, I didn't even find a way to get to the boards or figure out how to communicate or talk with everybody on the social aspect. And that should be like the first thing that you put out in front of people is, hey, come to the forums and come interact and come talk about your team. And where was that? I'm not sure if they have it.
I think they have a chat room of some kind, but I couldn't find that either. So, but you're dead on. It was some of the feedback that I gave him as well. You know, the first piece of feedback I gave him about how they decided to monetize it. And look, you know, I'll put out the disclaimer. It's none of my business, and obviously this guy was smart enough to build a game, so take my opinion for what it's worth. But as a user, when I come in, and on the front page, half of the home page tells you how much this is going to cost you. That's a problem right there, because the whole bottom half it says how much it's going to cost you. And it that doesn't make a lot of sense to me on how you monetize the game. You know, my point was, if you look at all the really successful games out there, not just sports games, but anything that's making a lot of money, they find ancillary ways to make their income and make the game free. So make your money on player renames or stadium sponsorships, or you know, just make up stuff like that, but that don't affect the direct gameplay. But just throwing it out there on the front page creates a hurdle that a lot of people won't get over. Even people like you or I that could afford it, obviously, but why? Why? I'm not even hooked.
Yeah, exactly. It's actually sort of a deterrent. Like you said, take this with a grain of salt because, you know, who the hell am I? I didn't create this game and I've never run a for-profit business. You know, I'm a finance guy that works in businesses. I don't know the first thing about trying to run a business, but I can recognize some problems when I see it, I'd like to think. And hey, good luck, Nolan. I hope you crush it and make millions of dollars. I don't see how it's going to happen.
I do give Nolan credit for one thing, though. A lot of people bitch about CSFBL, and he actually did something, you know, so I do give him credit but I do think, man, this dude jumped off his balcony, though, because he literally quit his job to make this game.
I know.
So he hasn't worked, he obviously worked on this game and building the business, but he hasn't worked in a year and a half. And then when you talk about scalability, if you look at how much he could potentially make off these 96 owners, I mean, it's fast food wages. He's going to have to get multiple 96 team leagues before he can start making a decent
I think
win.
I did the math. He'd need like 30 plus leagues to even pull in $100,000 in revenue. That, you know, that's not bottom line. That's revenue.
Yeah.
You know, that's a number where I think if he's probably paying for servers and his own development time and all that stuff, I mean, you got to start making some revenue. So I hope he does it. I really do.
I do too.
It's great. And, you know, I'm not holding up CSFBL as some bastion of greatness. It's actually far from it. You know, the sim was down for an entire day over the weekend. It's not that great. But at least it's familiar and comfortable. And if you're going to make me pay for something, it better blow that free product out of the water. And it just didn't.
Yeah. I agree with you entirely. I think, you know, steel sharpens steel. And if nothing else, I hope he continues to be successful and make improvements so that CSFBL makes improvements. Because we hadn't seen Brian around in a long time. And all of a sudden, now he's woken up. And if it's that, then good.
Yeah, light a fire under his ass for all I care. So the second thing you reminded me of, did you ever know, maybe I posted it on the TCL forums, did you ever know that my friend made an offer to Brian to buy the game?
You know what? This has come up in a couple different podcasts because I made an offer to Brian as well, and that's what I was talking about.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. I made a serious offer. It was just into the five figures offer.
Interesting. I didn't know you made an offer.
I did.
That's a similar number to what my buddy threw out, actually.
Which is more than the game's worth at this point with all that.
Oh, total.
I mean, the thing with the most value on the game is the goodwill, you know, the user base.
Yep.
I think probably Brian values the intellectual property really high just because it's his. So one of your buddies that plays the game?
He doesn't play it anymore. He was the one that sort of introduced it to that Sons of Ivy forum and got all those guys that play it now. And you know, I'm trying to think of some other guys you might know that fed from that. You know, Cubs Fellows one. Gaddius, obviously, Cubs Fellows' brother would be another. You know, probably a couple others. But he made a serious offer. This was probably – I think it was back when the game was down for a few weeks. Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, like we couldn't even access anything. It was like a web page of Brian saying, sorry, I can't, you know, drive 15 miles to the server.
And that was also back in the days where we were only getting, you know, 3, maybe 4 sims a day.
Yep.
Well, actually, that went on like that for a couple of years.
But I say you threw five figures at him. That's Cavs versus Bulls on a Friday night for you.
I don't do that anymore. I don't gamble like that anymore. But
do you remember that? I still remember that bet. It was a Friday night.
Yeah, I bet the over on it was a Bulls game. I don't know if it was Cavs, but
it was Cavs Bulls because Zydrunas Ilgauskas missed a free throw that would have gotten it for you.
That's right. Yeah, because I think the under over was like 211 or 213 or it was high.
Yep.
And it was really high. And I always, this is what a bad gambler I was, is because I'd always bet overs, even if they were irrational, just because it was more fun to bet for scoring and watch it and root for people to score. There's nothing more painful than rooting for people to not score.
Yeah.
And so I'd always bet overs. And I actually had four big bets that were $1,000 a piece. What is, and I lost all four.
When was this? Oh my God.
Yeah, four. I did it four times, similar bets to those.
That's
Brutal.
brutal. I mean, I wished you ripped through some serious cash in Vegas when we were out there, and
Oh
then
man.
I'm glad you're not doing that anymore. I was going to ask you if you are or not, but
No, I, well, and when you and I met in Vegas, that was probably right at the deepest point of my low, because I was just coming off that gig in Missouri, and I was out in Vegas for a couple of days with that girl I was dating at the time, and then came back to Madison without a job, and that was bad, man. That was I was drinking myself to excess, obviously. You and I were doing Jaeger bombs at 10 in the morning. Or no, I
That
wasn't.
was,
I was late showing up there, wasn't I?
I can't remember. I think we
We
met
were
at the
going to watch
bar, and
football.
we were going to watch football, and we hit two Jaeger bombs, and then all of a sudden we found ourselves at the craps table, and I went on that heater to put us up big real quick, and then after that it really just all went downhill.
I was thinking about this in advance of talking to you. I forgot how much we were actually up, but we were up all hundreds of dollars,
I
maybe
was
even
up at
over
least,
$1,000.
I was up at least 200, and you were placing way bigger bets than I was.
And
So you had to be up big.
that because I remember we went and celebrated by having more Jaeger bombs. And then
Yeah,
I
we did.
gave some guy that was cleaning the floor named Moon a $100
Yep,
chip.
you gave Moon the $100 chip, and he had the happiest day of his life.
He had the best day ever. And then we started playing blackjack, and that was going on for a while, and we were doing pretty well at that. And then by the time was she your wife at the time? I think she was your
Oh,
fiance at the
she was my
time.
fiance at the time.
Because it was December of 09. When'd you get married?
Maybe she was my wife then. No, it couldn't have been 09 because I'd left the league at that point. I was still in the league. So she would have been my fiance because we got married in July of 09. But we weren't married yet. I know that. So I think it was December of 08.
And then her dad showed up,
Yeah.
and by the time they both showed up, you and I were pretty drunk, and then I was throwing down stupid amounts of money on the roulette table then, and I was like betting for her dad and just giving him money. I don't know what the fuck I was doing.
I think he gave each of them like $100, and then so they were like, okay, but then you would tell them how to gamble it, and I was like, oh, well, I just thought it was hilarious at the time because I was drunk.
Yeah,
It
that
was a lot
got.
of fun.
Yeah. Obviously, living like that was not sustainable for me. But yeah, for a while, that was me. Glad it's not like that anymore.
I'm glad you're out of that, man. Good for you.
Yeah, I've been out of it for a while, but at least out of that really deteriorating lifestyle where I was. Gambling so much. I mean, I wasted a ton of money gambling.
Are you still doing the resort thing? Like you're still running the resorts and everything? Is it still the same one?
No, I manage a Hilton
Oh,
now.
really?
Yeah, so I'm in a more business atmosphere. I got out of the resorts. I just couldn't handle 1,000 barefooted kids running around my hotel every day anymore.
Oh, man.
It was brutal. I always made a joke, it was, you're running a 700 room resort. It's like being the mayor of a small town, but your constituents change every day, and you're guaranteed to have somebody happy, somebody mad, somebody sad, and somebody injured at every moment of every day in a water park.
You were always working. I have no idea how you actually stayed involved in the league or had any kind of social life because you were working all sorts of hours.
Yeah, I was in no bullshit, in 2006 I had 6 days off the entire year, and three of them were over Christmas.
That's
Yeah,
terrible.
it was brutal. What a brutal lifestyle that was.
Maybe no wonder you were drinking so much. I would too.
Yeah, it was rough. So now let me get you on record here. So we go to Vegas. Obviously, I made a wonderful impression, And then it, shortly thereafter, you unfriended me from Facebook, never to be friends again.
Yes, I did.
Well, what happened?
Let's call it, since you work in a business atmosphere, let's call it the CYA acronym.
Oh, you were covering your ass from me?
Yes. What I had sort of realized was you and I have sort of similar vices, and that trip had sort of tickled a little nerve in me, and I was like, you know, that's sort of the thing that I need to get away from and not be exposed to.
Yeah.
And I was worried that if I was exposed to it on a more regular basis, and this part of this was just paranoia, you know, youthful paranoia. I'm getting married. I should never consider things like this. It was looking at it from an all or nothing perspective, which was pretty stupid and immature. But yeah, I was really going CYA on that one. I wasn't sure that I wanted to be around someone who gambled so much money, because I have a tendency when I'm in Vegas to go beyond my limits, and I just watched someone go seriously beyond their limits, and I thought it was probably best for us not to expose that to each other.
Yeah, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
Especially because you had some important stuff coming up on the horizon. You were going to get married or just got married. You're about to have some kids, and you were just trying to keep your relationships or the people you're surrounding yourself with positive.
Exactly. You know, it was nothing. You know, the wife didn't say, "Oh, you can't be friends with that person," or it was just me recognizing that hey, the two vices that I have that are the strongest are alcohol and gambling, and for the most part, I can always keep them under control. But why expose yourself to an unnecessary evil? And I hate to call you an evil in that fashion, but you sort of admitted to yourself even back then that it really wasn't a good point for you.
Oh yeah, and, no, it was bad.
And so that's really what that was all about. And you know, plus after leaving TCL and everything, I just sort of wanted to purge. So the way you wanted to purge your storage, I sort of wanted to just purge myself of everything that had really been a part of my life from that aspect. So I just kind of did. I didn't unfriend everybody, but you know, I just sort of moved on from it.
Oh, but I wasn't the only one?
No, I think I unfriended or blocked a few people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can't remember who at this point anymore. It's been so long. I could probably go look at my Facebook block list and figure it out. But I mean, I'm still friends with, you know, I still talk to Pimp, Ken, you know, a whole bunch of guys. I mean, Ken's still in the league, right? Or did he pull a Kaz and quit
Ken?
Again? Yeah.
Ken left the league twice, and he's been back twice.
Nice. He really did pull up a Kaz. Good job.
Yeah, he really did. Yeah, so I was going to say something else about that. But yeah, no, that's completely understandable. So you kind of did fall off the map a little bit. I you probably don't realize this, but I had made multiple posts about you since then where I was feeling all bad. And I was like, "Where'd Kaz go? He doesn't want to talk to me anymore." I was all sad. So like talking to you today is like my redemption.
I apologize for the negative emotions you experienced from our unfortunate rendezvous.
I was like a woman.
I think I was too.
Scorned lover.
Yeah, well, you were the scorned lover, and I was, you know, I was the scornee. I was afraid of you.
Yeah, that's all right.
But, so yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So let's talk about TCL when you're a little bit more, because a lot of the people that are listening are going to have some kind of visceral emotion when they hear of the Chicago Firestarters.
Ah, yes.
That was quite a team. That was a team that had such a great name because the Chicago Fire got big, 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 and then burned itself out. And that's kind of what that team did. I've never seen a team. I think it was 3 years in a row you had a 110-win team and lost in the first round of the playoffs all three times. Is that right?
I believe that's right. I can't remember the exact history, but
it was brutal.
I remember I was so incredibly frustrated, and I can't remember who. I don't know if it was Clone all 3 years, because I think he might have left for the last one. But yeah, I mean, it certainly didn't feel good.
Yeah, I looked at actually I'm looking at it right now. The Let's see here. You were in the playoffs 14 times with that team in like 25 seasons, 14 times, and one World Series title.
Yes, I had one World Series title, and that was the year I actually went with a six-man rotation. I still remember a few of the guys, and I managed a six-man rotation. I was so involved with the game at that point that I was on every sim, and working them through the five starter spots and then the long reliever.
Why would you do a six-man rotation in the playoffs?
Oh,
You just
not in
hit.
the playoffs, just for the season.
Oh, so you were just managing CFAT that much.
Yeah, I had I still remember this guy's name. I acquired him from Krakow. His name was Nicholas Messersmith.
He
And
was on my team for a short period of time too.
I think I traded to you when I blew that team up.
Yeah, I think so.
And he was an awesome pitcher, but he had no EN whatsoever. So
That's
I
right.
would manage the CFAT by going with a six starter. And then in the playoffs, I would just turn him all the way up to negative 50 and let him go all nine innings.
At least you got that World Series. Otherwise, it would have been a nightmare. You know,
It would have been terrible.
Rent has your team now.
Oh, does he?
Yep.
I thought I handed it off to who took it over?
Sugarwall took it over from you.
That's right.
And he had it for 23 seasons and then turned it over to Rent, who just won his World Series last season or season before last.
Should be my World Series.
Well, it's funny because he was carrying the mantle for a while. He had a couple 100 win plus seasons and then lost in the first round of the playoffs. And I started calling him the greatest worst playoff manager of all time. And he was starting to get a little paranoid about the history of the team because before you owned it, Mobius owned it, who. So we started calling it the Mobius Curse because, he had that 40 win team or whatever it was, and then you had a lot of trouble in the playoffs. Sugarwall had a ton of problems in the playoffs, and then Rant. So
That's wild,
that
man. I
franchise
mean,
is kind of cursed.
that franchise is cursed. And I had a lot of fun with that team, because through the all of the rebuilds, because I think once or twice out of just abject anger for the playoff frustrations, I just tore it down.
Yeah, you did. Traded
And
everybody, and then you were back in the playoffs in 2 seasons.
I would just completely clean house. And you and I made quite a few trades. I
We
mean, I'm
did.
thinking of all the names we exchanged to Johnny Roundtrip, Nicholas Messersmith. I still remember the shortstop I took fifth overall, named Robin Collins.
Yes, Miss Robin Collins.
Mrs. Rob, we called her Mrs. Robin Collins.
She was one of my favorites.
And I traded Mrs. Robin Collins to you for Ralph Williams, the shortstop, who was. I don't think that he went number one overall. He was sort of overdrafted because he was an overscout, but that was supposed to be the team right there that ended my dry spell, because I had Jimmy Seymour.
Yep. You traded me Seymour right before you left, and I killed him.
I still remember that joke about how many times I posted Seymour is dying, and I would capitalize dying.
Yep.
And then for whatever reason, that joke it caught on, and Jar ran with it. I love Jar, by the way. If he's listening, I love that guy.
You should. He's a genius. He started his own game called fakebb.com. And
Fake BB, what is this?
yeah, fakebaseball.com basically. And what he did is you gotta check it out. It's this prototype baseball card collecting game, but he's using TCL players. And so there's a Delta Cause card, and then there's a so all the owners are in there, all the teams are in there, but then he has cards from all the seasons. So like your favorite season, your entire team is in there, and you buy cards, you get an allowance like you're a little kid, and you can buy packs of cards and open them up, and then your collection gains value. It's a brilliant idea. I'm surprised it hasn't been done before.
Yeah, that's actually great. I'm going to go check that out. I'll have to
Yeah.
ask him about it on Facebook. We're actually in a league together now, so I get a chance to communicate with him again.
Yeah, the guy's a super genius. But you know, I couldn't let you get past mentioning round trip because I'll talk about him every chance I get. So
As you should.
yeah, so I traded him to you, and everybody thought the world was falling. Lemke never stopped giving me shit because, like, I would make love to Johnny Roundtrip if he was a real person. And so I tried so hard to trade him back, and you were nice enough to trade him back to me. And then I ran him for another 7 or 8 seasons before he retired. So I still got to thank you for making that trade with me because you knew how much I loved him.
I gave him back to you at the right price that you needed to love him forever.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny you mentioned Lemke giving you shit, given his, at the time, his colon problems. It was actually very easy for him to literally give people shit.
He could just spray it all over the place.
Yes.
Or just throw the bag at me.
Is he still in the league? I honestly haven't looked at the league roster or the forums or anything.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people are still around, surprisingly. And next year is TCL's 10th anniversary. But yeah, yes. So Goot's still around, and Soldats, and even people that aren't in the league still hang out there, like McKilla, Clone, PR. The group's pretty strong.
Well, that's good that some people are sticking around for the social aspect. Maybe it means that social piece is back again.
You know, it's back with everybody except for Jelly.
Jelly
is so goddamn focused on that league being competitive. And, you know, there's no talking about of what that league's about, and it's not being competitive.
See, that really bothers me. Jelly and I had quite a few run-ins. I mean, we just don't like each other. So,
but you know,
that doesn't surprise me.
You know, I've met him in person a couple times, and we had a big meetup in Minneapolis. There's 13 of us there. And, if you met Jelly, you'd fall in love with him. He's a great guy in person. He puts on more of a persona than anything in the league.
Is he an internet tough guy, or is it just a persona? I mean, there's internet tough guys who talk that way, and I think that's what I classify myself as. I'll be an internet tough guy, but I'm a softy in person. So is it that, or is it more of a persona or an act?
I think it's kind of like Colbert. You know, where that's not really who Colbert is, but he amplifies his real personality.
Interesting.
I think that's what Jelly is, because he really is into being the smartest guy in the room, but it doesn't come off as pretentious or arrogant in person as it does online.
Okay, yeah, it definitely comes off that way online, and I have no doubt that the guy is a really intelligent individual.
Man, fuck you.
But fuck Jelly. I'm just going to call him Gel Bear from now on.
You know why I said that? It's because he's such a sissy that he won't come on this show. I'm having everybody on this thing, and he wants.
I'm on this thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I might just end it with you. I've hit the pinnacle.
You don't want me as the end, man. That's just
finale.
Not good.
No, but he said I'll be on it if you give me full editing rights. And I was like, bitch, please. You're not getting full editing rights.
What does he want to edit out?
I don't know. He's afraid he's going to talk about something and his wife's going to hear it, I guess.
Oh, all right. Yeah. You can't have that, I guess. I guess.
I don't know. I mean, don't let your wife hear it then.
I wouldn't let my wife hear this in the first place, but even if she did, she knows this is who I am. I don't really change who I am for anybody or anything, so.
And I don't know if that's why he's doing it, but I'm going to say that's what it is to goad him into doing it, because people want to hear from him.
Do you want me to goad him? Because he probably can't stand me more than anybody. So if I tell him that he's being a pussy for it or something, it might actually goad him into doing it.
Yeah. So just to get you on the record, you do believe that Jelly's a pussy?
He's a gigantic vagina.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
massive.
Just a gross one. A blue waffle.
You could drive a Mack truck in that thing and it wouldn't even... It wouldn't put a dent.
No, you could hear the horn for miles.
It's like a cavern. Oh, I'm sure he's gonna love me for saying this.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So, so I started the podcast by saying that you were on the path of Polish enlightenment, and that's because that's what your franchise name is in the game. Where'd that come from?
Right.
I love that. I couldn't wait to use it.
There's any number of Polish jokes you can use for me, but I really do embrace the dumb Polak. Number one, because I am a dumb Polak. But number two, because my wife is Polish. I don't know if you knew that.
I did, because I knew her last name before you guys got married, and it was
Yes.
like a coin flip on which one was better.
It was her last name. Her last name is Wondolowski, and my last name is Kozlowski.
Yep.
So, and she actually hyphenates her Facebook name so people can look her up by her maiden name if they want to. So
yep.
Her Facebook name is, you know, her last name on Facebook is 20 freaking letters.
That's awesome.
But you know, one of the running jokes we had when we were getting married is I said that my wife and I are obviously on the path of really trying to actually prove evolution wrong by letting two Polaks procreate in this manner.
Yeah, I like
With
that.
those two names. And I've just sort of ran with it ever since. And you know, my buddy, the one that tried to buy the game from Brian, you know, he was actually an usher in my wedding. And one of the things he said at the wedding was he gave me a letter and it said, you know, number one in your hearts and third from the left on your evolutionary chart.
What was that guy's name in CSFBL?
I want to say it was Rap or Rapster.
Oh, I guess.
Anyway, he's a great guy, good businessman, good friend. As I said, he was, you know, an usher in our wedding. But yeah, he, you know, he always gives me the Polish crap, and I think it's hilarious. Give me as much as you want, you know. Call me a knuckle dragger, you know, whatever you want to say. I think it's funny, and I'll agree with it because I don't really think all that much of myself in the grand scheme of things.
You know, there's a lot of Polish folks in Wisconsin, and in fact, the owners of Chula Vista, the big resort that I was at, they're all Polish, and I gotta say, you know, people give Polaks a hard time, but that guy was savvy as shit, and he was a great businessman, and everybody I know, all the Polish folks I know, they are, and I'm not just saying this because you're on here, but they're extremely hardworking, but when it comes to the thing I love about them is when it comes to being business people, they're really down to earth. They don't take any shit, but they're not like the least pretentious people too. Yeah, they're good. Well, and you're from Chicago, which has a huge Polish population.
Yeah,
too.
huge Polish population in Chicago. A lot of Polish restaurants, you know, Polish butcher shops. You know, I really embrace all that kind of stuff and really that sort of Chicago Polish culture. Because I, you know, saying that I was raised in it is just kind of stupid. You know, I was raised in a typical boring middle class suburb with a lot of white people around. So saying that I truly embraced it or was raised in it is just kind of silly, but I'm proud of it, and I don't mind all the jokes and cracks that come along with it.
You don't realize this, but I honor you whenever I'm at a Brewers game. When the Polish sausage wins, I go, yeah, Kozdog. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, but I do.
So that's Kozdog. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be a part of your life in that fashion.
So speaking of Kaz, who you are, you have this strange thing. How you've had several names,
yes,
in the game on the forums, and the ones I can think of off the top of my head were Delta Kaz,
yep,
Kaz Fest,
yep,
Kaz 2.0,
yep.
Who am I missing?
There was probably another one in there. The Delta Kaz and Kaz Fest were the two main ones from back in the day.
What did you change from Delta Kaz to Kaz Fest because you weren't in college anymore?
No, the Delta Kaz one, I think I just forgot the password. And in true Polish
fashion, you had
like
6,000 posts, you forgot the password, so you just created a new account.
I just started a new one and said, fuck it. But so the Kaz Fest one, so here's what I did. When I left CSFBL entirely, I sort of told myself it was, you know, a little bit before my first kid was born. And what I was trying to do is you know, that you haven't experienced it, but you tell yourself you're going to be, you know, fucking super dad, and you're going to get in great shape, and you're going to keep your place clean, and you're going to be a great parent, and you're going to do all this and that. So what I did when I quit CSFBL is I let it time out, because, and I changed all of my passwords. So what I did was I went in, I clicked change password, and then I just hit 30 keys randomly on a keyboard and clicked set. So I have no idea what the password was. And the reason I do that is it gives you, you can't log in, and it really just shuts it off entirely. And that's why I didn't ever use CosFest again.
You know, there's like a lost password thing.
Yeah.
You were just doing a basic barrier. You were saying, okay, this is my lesson to myself.
Yep. My lesson to myself, set up the first barrier. And yeah, you can do the lost password thing. But what it takes at that point is then you have to be willing to click the site, request the password. Yeah, it takes 30 seconds, but it sets up that initial barrier. And then I would block it at work or something like that, so I wouldn't do it at work, which is where I had most of the urge to play. And it created a set of barriers that kept me away from the game. And after a while, you don't miss it, because I wasn't really enjoying it that much at that point anyways. But after a while, part of the reason you just played was familiarity and what's the word I'm looking for? It was routine.
Yeah, well, and it acts as an easy distraction.
Yep, exactly.
You know,
so if you stay away a while, the distraction goes away.
You know, you talked about your friend talking about you as third over on the evolutionary chart.
Yeah.
I can prove that all of us are that same way. Is we all look for stupid small distractions like you were talking about. I mean, stupid things like Candy Crush and Cookie Clicker and Fruit Ninja, all these stupid fucking games that have no point, are the most popular games, Angry Birds, those type of things, because people are just looking for small, quick ways to escape life.
Exactly. They want the distraction from the real world.
Yeah, it's a strange concept. So anyways, COS 2.0, the path to Polish enlightenment is back. You're in three leagues.
Yes.
You're in a Sons of Ivy league.
Yep.
Why does it say Sons of Ivy 3? Were there are there two other ones?
Yes. Well, I think the second one is still called SOI 2. The initial one that was Sons of Ivy, I believe, is now called Wrigleyville.
I'm in that league.
Are you really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in that league for a long, long time. I didn't realize it was Sons of Ivy.
I'm almost positive it is, because it was the Sons of Ivy message board guys, and we had the Sons of Ivy League. It was so popular, we started a second one, and you know, there was a lot of crossover between owners, and then a few guys would start. What you'd do is you'd use SOY2 to recruit some new guys, and you'd see if they'd stick or not, and if they did, then you said, oh, hey, if there's an opening SOI, you try and bring them in. And after a while, I won't go down this path of awfulness, but there was a lot of drama that played out in the Sons of Ivy boards and everything. Basically, that board died, and the leagues, you know, sort of went with it.
What kind of drama?
It had to do with whether or not we wanted to take the site public, if we wanted to move it to, this one guy was trying to become like a Cubs blogger and podcaster and sort of make it his career, and he wanted to move the forums onto his website. And you know, we said that, hey, you're just trying to drive clicks and all this. It was a big old mess.
Somebody turned all L. Ron Hubbard on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So
it was that Matt Miller?
Matt Miller, the writer?
Yeah, the NFL scout guy.
How do you know him?
Well, he's the same guy that was in TCL, right?
Was he in TCL? I don't know if he was.
Yeah. He,
I know that he and Ken are like friends in person, or we've actually, it's kind of funny you mentioned it, he and I are sort of internet buds.
Yeah, Matt Miller, he was, I forgot what he was doing posts for. It was one of the NFL blogs online. And
that was probably NFL Blitz. Wasn't that because that originated the NFL Blitz League CSFBL?
I'm testing my memory here, but he was in TCL for a while, and he was in NFL Blitz when I was there. So you're probably right, but that's not the guy you're talking about.
No,
but you
no,
do know
him.
Who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I've talked to Miller online on several occasions. He's a good dude.
What is he doing now?
He's the lead NFL draft scout guy for Bleacher Report.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow, Bleacher Report's huge now. So
yeah,
good for him.
Oh yeah, it sounds like he's doing great. I mean, and like I said, he's a good dude, so I'm happy for him. It wasn't him though. It was another guy on this Cubs board I was a part of that really wanted to write for a living, which really boggled my mind because he had actually like paid for law school and had a law degree, so he paid a shitload of money. And after like about a year of doing it, he's like, fuck it, I want to be a blogger.
Is he successful now?
From what Cubs fella tells me, yes.
Oh.
I don't like not like he's probably not making a shitload of money off it or something, but he said it's a pretty successful. I think it's like an aggregator / blog site where he'll aggregate news stories and then, you know, kind of like Pro Football Talk, but for Cubs.
You know what though? Good for him. You know, you look at a guy like that or a guy like Nolan or really anybody else. None of us want to do the job that we want to do. You know, we want to find a way to be free and do what we want, and you know, more power to them for living their dream.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy working my job. It's a little unusual, and that I'd be happy doing it. I shouldn't say happy is not the right word. I'm content. Sure, I'd love to write sports blogs for a living, but at this point, I'm so tied in with kids and you know a house and all that kind of stuff that really there's no turning back.
So I didn't really ask you too much about it, but what are you doing exactly now? We talked about the golf course, but not what you're doing now.
Well, I worked for the past 3 years or so, I worked for a small private company that did payment processing. Great company, family-owned, really cool place. And I was their director of finance by the end of it, and they sold last year to a big company. And now I'm the finance manager or the financial reporting manager for this arm of their strategy, basically. So what my company did is now sort of a vertical strategy for the big company, and I'm the senior financial reporting guy for that.
You know, when I hear payment processing, that's what the mob calls loan sharks. Are you? You're not working for a loan shark, are you?
No, breaking
arms.
I know what you're talking. You're talking about the independent sales organizations or the ISOs. Those guys are a dime a dozen. And they are absolute sharks, and I do not work for a company like that.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I figured as much. You're somewhere outside of Phoenix, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, my company was based in Phoenix. Now it's in a suburb called Chandler, and I live in a suburb just southeast of that. Standard, boring, family suburbville with, I don't know, probably 400,000 residents or something like that.
You keeping up your lawn?
I do have a lawn.
You got to keep up your lawn next to your neighbors in Suburbville.
Now, I feel so bad. I actually hire people to do my landscaping.
Yeah, Mexicans.
No, it's actually a white guy.
Racist. Oh, really? Oh,
it's a white guy. He runs his own business.
Bringing jobs back to America. Good job.
So I'm funding the economy, man.
So speaking of jobs, one of the things that you and I talked about through PM is you used to work in radio, right?
I didn't work in radio. I started college as a radio TV major.
Oh, okay. All right.
So brief, I think I told the story in TCL, so I'll keep it brief. But I actually wanted to be a weatherman growing up.
Nice.
I was accepted to an atmospheric sciences program at a school on the East Coast, and I won't say it to sound cocky or anything. It was just I wanted to go there, got accepted, and I took physics my senior year and I despised it, which is funny because now I actually enjoy physics as a topic and a reading point. But physics and science were obviously a big part of atmospheric sciences, so I decided not to go and enrolled as a radio TV major at Bradley University. And after one semester, I gave that one up. So I
So why didn't you want to stay the school out east? Is it an Ivy League school?
Yeah.
Oh, you still don't want to say it? Go ahead and say it.
No, it's okay.
Oh, really?
It's not Harvard.
Once you get into the Ivy League, it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah, it was a low-level Ivy League school, but I don't really like telling people that because I think when you say that you got accepted there or you talk about it, you sound like a pretentious douche. And that's, you know, not really what I'm about I'm not that smart.
Well, I don't like to brag, but I got accepted to Madison College. So
on your first try?
Yeah, that wasn't even my fallback school.
What are you doing? Are you just you're doing the school thing there, it sounds like. So are you just taking like business classes, or are you trying to do
No,
like a hotel management master's or something?
fuck no. No, I'm just going for classes that I want to do. I don't really, believe that I obviously I have a great job. I'm doing just fine. So I'm just
Yeah.
taking classes that I enjoy. So I'm going for video editing, audio editing, creative writing,
Oh,
things
cool.
just that I can use as an outlet, that I'm filling my life with creative stuff now as opposed to poison. And it's just part of that whole unwritten plan.
That's cool. Are you gonna try it for the swim team?
I should. They have a badminton team, I think. I'm a
You should just go and start trying out for these things. I mean, there's all those articles out there nowadays because they go viral that, some 45 or 50-year-old person, made the community college team or something and participates. You could be that guy, the 40-year-old playing badminton or something.
Let's talk about sports for a second, because I since you're not my Facebook friend, I had to stalk you a little bit, because I needed to get some information for the podcast, for things that we can talk about. And so I found you on LinkedIn, right? And I
Yes.
look you up on LinkedIn, and one of your activities in college was that you're a member of the women's basketball team. How's that
Yes, I
possible?
was.
Yeah, so I laughed out loud because I was like, well, there it is. What he did in college is he was a member of the women's basketball team, like he was fucking Madea. Or like he dressed up like Mrs. Doubtfire dunking on chicks.
This wasn't a Jonathan Brandis and Ladybugs scenario or something, if anybody remembers that movie.
Wow, that was obscure.
I was on, I don't know if you know, women's college basketball teams will practice against a team of men.
Really? Because
Yes.
they're just brutes, right? These girls.
Because the reason this sounds so incredibly sexist, but let's face it, it's just sort of true, is if they practice against the men who are bigger, stronger, faster, the argument is that when they actually get into the real game scenarios, the game slows down for them. So,
That would make sense.
yeah, so they're
Yeah.
seeing things faster, they're reacting quicker, because in a practice scenario, they've been going against bigger, faster, stronger.
Well, it's in MMA, that's a really common thing is that you wrestle against bigger guys, so that when you got a smaller guy on top of
Well, when I have a smaller guy on top of me, I just let him have his way with me. So
yeah. Just let him finish. It's easier that way.
it's like a dog and a leg. Just let him finish.
That's good stuff. So yeah, I had to hassle you about that a little bit. So
But yeah,
you're
so I did that, and then I did that, and I co-captained the what they call it is the extramural team, or basically think of it like a campus all-star team. And then you actually go around to tournaments. There's a state tournament for these teams. There's a regional tournament for these teams, and they have contests. And they set up like a 64 team bracket after you do your three or four games to see who's the better teams are, and you play games that way. And it was a great way for me to sort of feed that competitive basketball edge that I sort of missed without having to actually play college basketball because my knees and my psyche just couldn't take it.
Be honest, did you hook up with any female basketball players?
As long as I don't have to name them, the answer is yes.
Nice job. Did you hook up with any male basketball players?
As long as I don't have to name them, the answer is
No.
maybe.
Maybe.
No, I didn't.
Maybe the jury was out on one of the. Yeah, I won't go there.
It was a phase in my life. No, I did not. Just one, I think, and I had a thing for another, but I got shut down on that one.
That's good stuff. So, on the sports front, now that you've been out in Arizona for a while, I assume you're still a Cubs fan, even though they're the worst team that's ever been created.
Still a Cubs fan, living painfully with that one on a day-to-day basis.
Good job, Theo.
It's actually not his fault.
Oh,
You know what you should do? If you want to have a Cubs-only podcast and listen to someone rant about it,
Yeah.
get Cubs Fella on this thing.
I got Gattias on there. Cubs Fella's next. Definitely.
I would be stunned if he accepted.
It's not his thing, you don't think?
I really don't think so. He really doesn't like talking on the phone, and he's just such a quiet and reserved guy. Great dude. But I highly doubt that he would accept the invitation. Maybe he would.
I was surprised I got Gattias on here. He was pretty interesting to talk to.
That doesn't surprise me entirely. He's a little more gregarious than his older brother or younger brother is.
Yeah.
So, at least that was my feeling of the two.
So you said the Cubs, well, you know, I understand Theo Epstein is doing a little tank and bank right now. They're filling
a little scrub farming.
Yeah, they really are. You used to be the master of scrub farming. I forgot about that. How are we now?
I was the master of scrub farming.
Holy crap. That's right. You did have scrub farming mastered.
I had two or three different things that I think TCL instituted rules for to stop.
Scrub farming was the biggest one because I remember one trade, and I feel like it was with PR, but maybe it was with somebody else, where you had gone back and forth 7 or 8 times and basically created 9 guys.
Yes.
9 scrubs.
The trick there was to continually trade, because at the time the salary cap thing was you couldn't. You know, once Brian put in the as long as you lose salary, you can trade it. That didn't exist at the time. So you would sign 3 scrubs from a trade, basically, by emptying your roster or something and automatically signs guys. And then you would use those signees to go trade for more.
And at that time, it didn't sign people off the free agent wire. It would create a new player, too, correct?
No, it would sign them off the free agent wire, but the trick was if you put a bid, if you had somebody under the cap put a bid in on a guy, anybody who had a bid on them couldn't be signed. So if you had somebody go bid on all the 200 and 300K pitchers, you would get 400K guys. So if you got 3 400K guys, suddenly you could flip them for a $1.2 million player.
Oh.
So it was... That was the scrub farming thing that I got nailed for.
You were a sneaky bastard. That's really good.
I was a dirty little bastard. And me and I think Pimp was on the forefront of that too. Him and I were actually talking about this a few weeks ago on Facebook, and him and I were really sort of at the head of the class and finding ways to manipulate that cap.
What were the other secrets?
I honestly can't remember them all anymore. I mean, that was the big one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was the main one I really employed was that. And there was something else that got a rule instituted, and I can't remember what it is, though. Maybe it's still in the TCL rulebook for all I know, and we can go back and look.
Well, I do know after you had some teams that were like $75, $80 million teams, and you and I were doing something that I kept doing where and it was with trades. I wouldn't call it scrub farming, but basically we were trading back and forth to using trade backs to basically inflate our salary. So we
that
had
was
a,
it.
Yeah,
that's the other thing I was saying. That was the trade backs,
and we were able to field a 75. million-dollar team that were facing all these teams that were 50 million and they just couldn't compete.
Yep. What we would do is we would sign – if you had, three 700K players, you flip the 3 for the $2.1 million player, and then you use the $2.1 million player and a $1 million player, and you can go get a $3 million player, and you kept stacking your chips that way. It was basically like a double down.
I remember – nights where that would get super complicated, though, because you had to find all the right trading partners, and you had to get it done in a certain order. But if you did it, it was a monster.
I remember the last one that you and I pulled off. I think that took me about 45 minutes on a spreadsheet to figure out all the math to make it work.
That was the Seymour trade.
It was. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, I still say that one – full year I had Seymour was probably one of the best hitting seasons that's ever happened. It probably was the best hitting season because he batted like 330. He had 63 home runs. He had like some obscene number of RBIs. It was just, he was such a monster. And then I killed him because I didn't have any development or drills.
We both did because I didn't have any development or drills for him those last couple of years. And I dealt him to you. You didn't have it. And that's just, but the thing was, at the time, we didn't really know the level of importance that development and drills were.
Yeah, well, because, you know, we were just coming into the first CBA when we weren't doing age versus age and salary anymore. Where,
yeah, exactly.
Because back then, nobody had any of that stuff. Nobody could afford it.
Nobody could afford it. Nobody really thought it was important. Nobody thought it was valuable. And that age salary thing, when that went away, that sort of changed the dynamic. And it's kind of funny, I think about it. TCL was just sort of, we were pretty slow to adapt. And if I'm not mistaken, let's give him some credit. I'm pretty sure Jelly's arrival sort of brought about the importance of development and drills. And we definitely learned defense from him, from what I can remember.
And learned how stadium changes affect things.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were sort of in our own little bubble there and hadn't caught on to these things. And it's kind of funny. I mentioned that Cubs blogger that had destroyed Sons of Ivy.
Yeah.
Cubs Phil and I were talking. We went back and looked at his teams. He used to dominate the Sons of Ivy leagues. Like, you know, I'm talking 2006. And we went back and looked at his teams. He had range all over the place.
Oh, really? And nobody picked up on exactly what he was doing?
Nobody picked up on it. He always had high range guys up the middle. Like, you know, he wasn't using it like Jelly was in, you know, left field and right field and first base, but he had it in all the right spots, and we never figured it out.
Yeah, yeah, that's, and Clone kind of picked up on that early, at least with the shortstops, because he was always trading for high range shortstops back.
Yeah, yeah, I'm generalizing on the fact that Gelbert brought it into TCL, because Clone was always ahead of the game and everybody in TCL.
Yeah. So, any thoughts of ever coming back to TCL, or are those days behind you?
That's probably behind me.
Yeah, but you joined the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
I did.
Do you consider yourself an extraordinary gentleman?
Mediocre gentleman.
Working your way up.
Yeah, LMG. You know, I mean, with guys like Tino in that league, I can't compare.
Tino was an interesting interview. He's a whole new guy than the Tino that I remember after talking to him.
I'll have to go listen to that. I would actually be intensely curious to listen to Tino talk.
He is. I mean, he's a highly confident guy with good reason. You know, he's a smart guy.
He
works out a ton. He has a good job. You know, he has lots of reasons to be confident in himself. But he doesn't come off as just a dick like he did when he was younger, you know?
Is he all of those things kind of like Bill was?
What do you mean?
Bill. I mean, Bill was that extremely confident young guy, too.
Yeah, but Bill didn't have as many reasons to actually be that. I love you, Bill. He's never going to listen to this anyway.
No, he won't.
But
he's not around anymore, is he?
No, he's not around anymore. He's busy doing dudes.
That sounds hot. Is Kitty Lover still around?
No. You know, I haven't heard from him in years.
You should try and get him next.
Yeah, he would be good. I haven't talked to him in a long time. He was a fun guy.
He was extremely funny. I thought the guy was hilarious. And I'm actually still friends with him on Facebook. I didn't unfriend him, so, you know, take that.
Oh, now you're just rubbing it in, because I think he might have unfriended me, too. I remember his name. I'll have to look him up.
Oh, we're just ripping you apart scab by scab, man.
I know. It's all right. It's all right. I'm a better person for it.
Good.
So, one last question. You still head tilting?
Absolutely.
Every picture?
You get your
kids to head tilt in the family portraits?
Since you're not my Facebook friend, you didn't see that. Yes, I got my kids to head tilt, and I posted it. And if I'm not mistaken, I tagged like Pimp and Clone and a couple other guys so they could see it.
That's awesome.
So the tilt is still strong. That's never going away.
Yeah, man, you got to embrace your brand.
That's who I am. I'm the tilt-headed Pollock.
All right, so we're like hour and a half into the podcast. Again, I want to thank you so much for doing it. But at this point, I always like to give people the opportunity to say whatever they want to say, give a shout out to somebody, put somebody on blast, whatever they may want to get off their chest. You got anything for us?
Oh man, I wish you knew you were going to do that. I didn't listen to the end of the Ken one to know that you would do this. I would
Yeah.
have come up with something great—a diatribe or a mission statement or something that would be way more entertaining than what I'll come up with now.
Did we cover the things that you thought we'd cover, or did I miss anything?
No, I think you got it all.
Oh, all right.
We hit all the topics. I mean, there's nobody I really want to put on blast. I mean, I think I said everything I would want to say about anybody, and people would find either inflammatory or entertaining or anything of that nature. I mean, if guys are wondering if I hate them, the answer is no. I still love the guys, and I loved what TCL was when I was around. And even if I came back to that state, I probably would never join again. But maybe I'll pop around the forums once in a while and say hello. I'm sure people are going to have some comments in the thread once you post this, so I'll stop by and say hi. And I'm still quite cordial with quite a few of those guys. So, hey, I loved what TCL was. I loved my time, and I hope that everybody wins a World Series except for you.
Well,
Have you won? Have you won a lot of World Series? I mean, there's my last question for you. Have you won a lot since I left?
I had a nice run. I went to between 2005 season and like the 2040 season. I went to, I believe, 16 World Series, and I won 8 of them.
Oh my God,
Yeah,
that's
so I had a
fast.
big run. Yeah, but then they changed the rules because of me. That's when we went to a hard cap. So TCL has a hard cap now because I just kept making these. I think my last team was like an $84 million team, and no one else could. I shouldn't say nobody else could compete. Lots of people could compete, but it's really tough to play against a team that's $84 million.
Yeah, it's
And
impossible.
so. So I kept going to World Series, and they finally changed to a hard cap, and I got to a World Series since then. Yeah, I mean, I've really had to change my whole thought process on how to build a team because you just can't keep a young group of good players together for 6, 7, 8 runs at it like you used to be able to.
Right. Well, maybe I don't have to wish for you not to win one. It sounds like you'll take care of that yourself.
I'll
So,
do it all on my own.
my parting gift to you is why don't you go ahead and send me a Facebook friend request and I'll click accept.
Oh, yeah, this is full redemption for me. I love it so much. That was actually going to be my finishing question, and I was going to put you on the spot, so you had to say yes. So for you to just offer it up is like going to a party and having the hottest girl just telling you that she wants to have sex with you.
Oh, that's such a kind compliment. I figured we'd give the crowd what they want. If they were going to listen to us talk for an hour and a half, they want to see the makeup sex at the end.
Absolutely. So, does anybody know that you're doing the podcast with me?
There is one person I told.
Is it Ken?
No,
Okay.
I told Cubs fellow.
Oh, okay. Because if we can, I'd like to keep it a little bit of a secret because I think people will be blown away to see that I got you to come on the podcast.
Yeah, that's why I didn't tell anybody else, and fellow's not going to tell anybody, and I told him to keep it a secret. I figured you sort of wanted the marketing exposure that my name and the history that goes along with it might provide. There's no
Absolutely.
mass appeal from the name itself, but there is mass appeal from my flame outs in TCL.
Absolutely. You were one of the most favorite sons of TCL just because of the energy and the craziness that you brought to the league. So I know they'll be excited to hear from you. And not just them, but there's a lot of non-TCL people that listen to the podcast. In fact, over half of the podcasts I've done so far are with non-TCL people.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to some of these.
there's some good ones. If you're looking for some history, listen to Cologne. If you're looking for some craziness, listen to PR. If you're looking to listen to Reds for 2 hours, well, I did that one too. And then the two that are about to be published is Schnuggelheimer. We talk a lot about Pennant Wars. And then the one after that is Tino, which is enlightening about Tino himself.
I'll have to definitely listen to the Schnug one based on the run-in with him recently. But
yeah,
hey, I'm just happy to be a part of it, man. It was fun.
All right. Well, thanks so much for doing it. Stay on the line for one more second, but I'm going to stop recording. So to everybody listening, that is the Velvet Polish Hammer. Kaz Fest, Kaz 2.0, the man. And we are out of here.
Smooches.
Have you ever met a guy on an internet date waiting around as he comes in 2 hours late? Let me tell you a story about this situation. I was talking to this guy from the SBC Nation. The way that I met him was in a Vegas sports book. He had missing teeth and a hungover look. He looked exhausted, dripping, pouring with sweat. He was kind of talking loud and he wanted to bet. I whispered in his ear, come to the corner booth so I can get some Jaeger, the 100-proof truth. He asked the guy's name. He said, my name is Moon. He tossed him $100 and sang him a tune. We had a couple drinks and we were getting booze. The way he was drinking, I was more scared than amused. We started throwing dice. He was dropping lots of change. I said we should calm down and he started acting strange. Then I asked if he was okay and he tried to pretend. He said, no, I'm at a dead end. Come on, man. I can't even be around you. That's why I'm gonna sing it. Zoo! You're not what I need. I'm afraid we can't be friends. I'm afraid we can't be friends. Oh, Havy, you. You're not what I need. I'm afraid we can't be friends. I'm afraid we can't be friends. Oh, Havy, you. You're not what I need. I'm afraid we can't be friends. I'm afraid we can't be friends.